Good morning, yes. Everybody say good morning. Good morning. There we go. Get our exercises going. It is good to be together. I'm really thankful that we can be together. And I say that because this matters, right? Our gathering together, it matters. And with that, the central aspect of our gathering together is to follow Jesus, to follow in the way of Jesus. Central to our gathering together, remember, is to seek after the way of Jesus. And we can think back to last week, right? To think and to know, right? To think like Jesus thinks and to know like Jesus knows, right? To learn Jesus' philosophy, to learn his interpretation of Torah, both written and oral, to learn his theology, his teachings, his worldview. To think like Jesus thinks and to know like Jesus knows, but not only that, also to do. Right? Because the ultimate goal of a disciple is to follow in the way of your rabbi, is to become just like your rabbi. To live, writes the author Dallas Willard, as Jesus would live. We could say to live the rhythms of Jesus. And if you remember from back in 2018, if you weren't here, that's okay. In 2018, we did a series on discipleship. A series on what it looks like to follow Jesus, what it looks like to practice the Jesus life, to practice the rhythms of Jesus. Rhythms, if you remember, rhythms of community and service and surrender and Sabbath and forgiveness and trust. Rhythms of peace and humility, rhythms of rest and mercy and love. The rhythms of Jesus. And as I've been revisiting that list, I noticed that there was one rhythm that was not in that original series, and that is the rhythm of prayer. Noting also, as we did last week, Jesus is one who prays. Right? Jesus is one who prays. Jesus is one who, we could say, practices the rhythm of prayer. But not only that, Jesus calls us to be a people who pray. And we know that, again, because as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we follow in the way of. And so we follow in the way of Jesus. We follow in the way of the one who prays. And so, again, over the next number of weeks, I want to invite us to do a kind of a deep dive into this thing called prayer. Again, entering into it not so much from a more contemporary, modern, Western, Protestant perspective, but more to kind of get in and under and beneath and behind Jesus and his life and approach it from more of a ancient Jewish rabbinic perspective. And so if you have a Bible with you, let me invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We're just going to read a couple of verses this morning. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 689, but Matthew chapter 11 is where you want to be. The words will be on the screen behind me, as always, so that will be helpful. And for the reading, I'm going to invite Cliff, if you want to come on up to the microphone and read for us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, and then I will pray, and then we'll get to work.
At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure."
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, this opportunity to gather together. We think of those who are unable to be with us for a number of reasons. We pray your blessing would be upon each one of them, that you would meet them at their point of need. We pray, Lord, that you would now be in and over and under and all through my words, that I would speak your heart. Holy Spirit, would you be poured out that we might have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would be turned to follow you in the way that you would have us to go. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So I shared this story a lot of years ago now, but I'm bringing it back because it's probably one of my favorite stories. It's a story about a preacher who, one afternoon, he jumps on his bike and he heads out to visit members of his congregation. And as he's riding along, he sees a little boy out front of his house and trying to sell his lawnmower. And so the preacher, having been thinking about needing a lawnmower for some time, stopped next to the boy and asked him, "How much do you want for your lawnmower?" The little boy said, "Well, to be honest, I really just want enough money so that I can buy a bike." Well, this preacher kind of got to thinking then, and he said, "Well, maybe we could do a trade. Maybe I can give you my bike and you give me your lawnmower." And so he offers this trade, and the little boy then, looking rather interested and intently, kind of looks at the bike, and he gets up and he goes over and he's kind of looking it over, and he kicks the tires a couple of times and gets on it, rides it around, and he comes back and holds out his hand and he says, "Mister, you've got yourself a deal." Well, that got the pastor, the preacher, to be thinking, well, maybe I need to check out the lawnmower a little bit. And so he goes over to the lawnmower and he starts pulling on the cord and doesn't start. And so he pulls another time or two and still it doesn't start. And so he turns back to the boy and he says, "I'm sorry, I can't get the lawnmower to start." And the boy says, "Well, you got to start cussing to start the lawnmower." Preacher looks at him and goes, "Well, wait a second, I'm a minister." He said, I don't cuss. And frankly, it's been so long, I don't even know if I remember how. The little boy said, "Well, minister, just keep pulling on the cord and it'll come back to you. Just keep pulling on the cord." I don't know about you, but I imagine if you have been alive over the last 18 months, there's probably no doubt that there's been a time or two or 300, right, when you have felt like you were pulling that cord and it just wasn't starting. And whether you started to cussing or not, I don't know. Maybe you swore, maybe you didn't. But within that space, I guarantee there was probably lots of frustration, definitely irritation, right? Maybe tempers flare, maybe hurtful words are said, perhaps there's some bitterness or resentment. And every time you pull on that cord, it's like throwing another stone in your bag. It's like throwing another stone in your bag, and pretty soon this bag is getting heavier and heavier with stones. I don't know what your stones would be. For me, let me see here. This stone, I call this one regret. This was quite a few years ago now. My youngest son was playing soccer. It was elementary years. I don't remember exactly. It was out at a field in Tualatin. And I was pretty certain, and I still think, the referee made a very, very poor decision. Made a very bad call that game. But then I made one much worse. And I said things that I regret. I said things that she should have never heard. Things that would have been crushing. Got another one here. Maybe this one is familiar to most of us. I call this one worry. I carry it around a lot. I worry about my tomorrows, worry about future, family, friends, finances, health. Pretty much anything, right? Pretty much anything. This one was from college, my college days. Had a really good friend. We were roommates. And then, I don't know, there was a misunderstanding. Words were spoken. Not totally sure what happened in all of that, but pretty soon we parted ways, never to talk again. I call this rock disappointment. I call that rock disappointment. It stays with me. Let me see here, one more. This one's probably the heaviest. This one I call rejection. I also call it resentment. This one was when I was a little boy and our family, we were getting ready to leave the house to go out on this outing, and as often would happen, my dad's addiction interfered with that. And in a moment of what turned from joy to deep hurt, my dad picked me up and tossed me across the living room floor. And I landed, and yes, it hurt physically, right? But it's the wound to my heart and soul that stayed with me much longer. Those are some of my stones. We all have stones. We all carry them. One stone after another. Maybe it's rejection. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe resentment. I don't know what exactly it is for you. Some stones we've carried around for a very long time. Some perhaps have shown up even just this past 18 months, even maybe this past week. One stone after another. And so we have this lawnmower, and every time we pull on that cord, right, it's almost like one more stone is being tossed into our bag. And so if it ain't cussing that's going to get it started, how do we handle these challenging, difficult times? Is there a way to help us kind of get through? Is there a way to help us through the tough times? Let's look again at Matthew 11 and 25. Again, it'll be up on the screen behind me. This passage has been called Jesus' Prayer of Praise. Eugene Peterson says this prayer is unprovoked, spontaneous, exuberant praise. And we read here, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Now, standing alone, absolutely, this is a very simple and beautiful, we could, with Peterson, say unprovoked, right, spontaneous, exuberant prayer of praise, right, giving thanks to God. And if that's true, it seems right to praise God. Right, if that's true, then it seems right to praise God, right, when we are blessed, when things are going well. Right, when we get a good health report, when we find a new job, when we enjoy a long-needed vacation, when we experience the joy and wonder like I did 3 days ago of welcoming a new grandson into the family. And yes, we respond with praising God, right? But what about those other times? What about those other times when the lawnmower won't start? When the bag of stones is just getting heavier and heavier? What about those times when maybe the health report isn't so good or the job is lost? When the worry starts to set in and the stones become too heavy to carry, right? When even one more step seems all too overwhelming. What does this prayer have to do with those times? And I would suggest to you it has everything to do with those times. At least that is true for Jesus, noting at that time when Jesus said, I praise you, Father. Keep in mind here, Jesus was in the midst of some very great struggle, in the midst of some very definite sorts of challenge. Jesus' prayer of praise is the result of some, not of some incredible blessings, but rather of some very difficult time. Speaking contextually here, if we were to jump back to the beginning of chapter 11, we find the disciples of John speaking to Jesus, coming to Jesus. John is locked up in prison. His powerful prophetic voice has been silenced. And he's really restless to know where is deliverance going to come from. And he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? In other words, he's in effect saying, Jesus, you are a real disappointment. Jesus, I was expecting a whole lot more from you. I was expecting you to show up. I was expecting to see some increase. And you weren't getting it done. You weren't getting it done, right? You've let me down, man. As Eugene Peterson puts it, John and Jesus were different in the ways they went about their work. John preached in thunder to popular acclaim. Jesus told stories over meals with friends on the road. John was a public figure confronting the high-profile sin of Herod Antipas in the public square. Jesus worked for the most part inconspicuously in the small villages in Galilee. It is understandable that John might be offended at Jesus' ways of going about his messianic work. After all, where is the increase that John was expecting? Where are the swelling crowds? Where are the dramatic confrontations with the dissolute powers that be? And not only that, but the people in the villages with whom Jesus had lived, they were essentially ignoring him. Again, from Peterson, if John the Baptist's misunderstanding was a disappointment to Jesus, the indifference of the people was more like a slap in the face. After all, these were the very places where Jesus did some of his mighty works, healing the blind, freeing a paralytic, bringing life from death. And yet the people, many ignored him, turned a deaf ear, and dismissed him as irrelevant to their lives. And it was these sorts of conditions in which Jesus was immersed, right? The day he broke into what Peterson calls his most exuberant praise, right? His unprovoked, spontaneous, exuberant praise. The circumstances in which this praise erupts, Peterson continues, are grim, hardly conducive to giving thanks at all. And while I would argue that this is true, that this offering of praise in one sense is true, right? That okay, perhaps there's some spontaneity and some unprovoked, right, exuberance. And while that's partially true, I would argue that this offering of praise was not a one-off event. This was not something out of the ordinary or sort of exceptional. I would suggest to you that this was a pattern for Jesus. That this was his way of being and doing life, no matter what was happening. No matter what rocks were in his path. And we know that because woven deep in the fabric of ancient Jewish life was and still is what is called the Amidah, what is also called the Shmoneh Esrei, what is also called Hatfilah, meaning translated simply as the prayer. And what amounts to a recitation of 19 blessings, it would have been 18 in Jesus' day. There was one that was added after the fact, after Jesus' life here. But it's a way of being and doing life that goes all the way back to the 5th century B.C. All the way back to the 5th century B.C. And so just maybe, with all due respect to Eugene Peterson, just maybe this unprovoked, spontaneous prayer of praise was actually deeply woven into the fabric of Jesus' life, into the way of Jesus' life, into the practice of his life. Now, in the coming weeks, we will gather ourselves more and more around this both ancient and still modern prayer, the Amidah, the Shmoneh Esrei, the Hatfilah. But for today, I want us just to notice one thing to wrap this up. Because the opening of the Amidah begins with a verse from Psalm 51, and it reads, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise," which is not one of the 19 blessings, but it is right at the beginning, and it's, think of it as a call to prayer. Maybe a call to action. Maybe a preparation for what is to come, of preparing the heart and the mind. And for today, I want to invite us to consider, what if we were also to start there? What if we were to start there? Unprovoked spontaneity and exuberance, that's great. But what if we intentionally paused throughout our day? Maybe it would be something where you have a time in the morning, a time in the afternoon, and a time in the evening that would be consistent with ancient Jewish practice. We'll talk more about that another time. But maybe once in the morning, you just pause to give God praise. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Maybe just to sit in silence and to thank God for the morning. To thank God for the blessing of that day. Maybe in the afternoon, as you look back, maybe you thank Him and praise Him for how you've seen Him walk with you through that day. Maybe in the evening you thank Him and you bless Him and you praise Him for a good day's work and now for a night of good rest. Maybe you have one of those watches and maybe you can set that watch to go off at the top of every hour. And so at the top of every hour you get this alarm, and maybe when that goes off, maybe for a minute, maybe for two, you pause. You stop in your day and you thank God for His blessings. You give Him praise. Maybe you put a big capital E with a circle around it on the welcome card that you have that you're going to put into the basket when you walk out today. And that big E with the circle on it will tell me to send you a PDF of Jewish liturgy for the morning. Something just to for you to consider and to think about and interact with. Not so much a part of the Amidah, but part of certainly the morning prayers of the Jewish practice. And so if you put a big E on there and make sure I've got your email, I will send that to you this afternoon before I leave. Open our lips, that our mouth might declare His praise. That word praise incidentally comes from exomologeo in the Greek. It is tehila in Hebrew. It means to make grateful acknowledgement. What if we this week practiced the Jesus prayer of praise? And again, absolutely, when we're experiencing blessings, right? I thank God for the blessing of my newest grandson. I thank God for the blessing of friendships and family. I thank God when I open the refrigerator and there's enough food in there for a meal. I also thank God when I think about that regret. And I praise God because He tells me that He works all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so though I have this regret, I praise God that He loves me in the midst of it. And He's working it for good, and I pray that for this young lady. I think of maybe this one here that speaks of worry, and I praise God that even in the midst of my worry, I know that He's a God who cares. A God who tells me that He knows my needs before I even ask. The answer is on the way. You know, and then there's this really heavy rock. And even in the midst of the rejection, in the midst of the resentment that I feel, I'm able to thank God for His gift of reconciliation because I love my dad. And I'm thankful for the relationship that I have with him now. No, it's not always easy. But in the midst of my rock, I can still praise God and thank Him for that gift. What would it look like this week if we practiced this Jesus prayer of praise? the morning, the afternoon, the evening, every hour? What if we, like Jesus, opened our lips and declared praise? We can think when we gather together, when we gather with another, when we make a meaningful connection. What would it look like? We could ask, what would it look like to begin a habit of praise? When things are going well, and again, when things are not going well, when the lawnmower, you're pulling that cord and it doesn't start, when the stones are getting heavier and heavier, what would it look like to begin a habit of praise? We could ask, what would it look like to make grateful acknowledgement? It was the Apostle Paul who wrote in 1 Thessalonians to pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I don't know everything that's going on in your lives. I'm sure there's some real true blessings, some things you're very grateful for that draw your heart in a positive way, and I'm sure there's some real struggles. There's times of pulling on that cord and it just ain't starting. What would it look like to make grateful acknowledgement? What would it look like to begin a habit of praise? What if we, like Jesus, opened our lips and declared praise? What if we this week practiced the Jesus prayer of praise? And what if we didn't wait for just this week, but what if right now? I want to invite us, even right now, to enter into a time of praise. So at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father. And so, open our lips, Lord, that our mouths will declare your praise.